And in the opening, the scripture reading, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That deity suffered and sank under the agonies of Calvary. We know that. In order to accomplish the plan of redemption and to save the human race, Jesus had to become man. He had to become man to save man. But he did not take on our sinfulness. We know that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. But he had to become man in order to save man. You know? In Christ is gathered all the glory of the Father. He is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. And my sermon today is no way is taking away from the divinity of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, he is fully divine. He is the Son of God. He is our elder brother. He is our Savior. He came to this earth with his divinity shrouded. So as we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank thee for the opportunities that you give us to show the love of Jesus, to show your love. You love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And we can follow him. He came to this earth to show your character and to show that we can follow your commandments. And we just pray through the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we will be able to do that. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Yes, Christ is divine. He is a perfect representation of God on one hand and a perfect specimen of humanity on the other hand. He is fully divine and fully human. John 1:14 tells us that. You know, let's turn to that. That's about my first verses that we have. So let's turn to that, John 1:14. As familiar, we've had it many, many times these last 2 or 3 months. We should have this down in memory, in our memories. But John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We know that it's an infallible mystery, the incarnation of Jesus Christ in humanity. The Creator to the helpless babe in a manger, equal with the Father, wearing the garb of humanity. Christ in reality, possessing human nature. He is declared to be a man, even the man Christ Jesus. We know that he is to wear the garb in the features of all humans, as we do today. He was subject to the infirmities and the weaknesses of man. Christ became human flesh to feel all the burdens of lost man, all the infirmities of man, to pay the price for fallen man, that he might be raised in fullness of life. Christ had to become man in order to show that it is entirely impossible to follow the law of God. The man, Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world, how he died as man in the flesh and why. From the start, as I said, this is about the Son and not humanity. My focus today is on Jesus Christ. Man, a created being, a human being of the human race, mankind, humanity, human being taken as a group or people, the fact of being human, men, women, and children. It's hard to believe, or family, even having a loving relationship with God because of our sin. And some say no to that relationship, that opportunity of learning through endless ages, the love of God. We talked about the love of God in Sabbath school this morning, how great that it is. And if you would turn to Psalms 90, at Psalms 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we already read John 1:14. It was made in the flesh and dwell among us. We see that Jesus Christ was not only divine, he was also human, both divine and human. He took on himself the very nature that we had, that humans have. He became part of the human race. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to become part of the human race, to show us the character of his Father. From the time of beginning, a mystery began to develop. We know that God in Christ, from the beginning, knew of the apostasy of Satan and the fall of Adam. But even so, they went on with the creation of the human race. And even after reading scriptures, that's hard for me to take. But that's where faith comes in. From the very beginning, God wanted to repopulate heaven with humans. He wants to repopulate heaven with each one of us. But we have to be willing. The plan of redemption, as we know, is to redeem this human race, to give them another chance. And yet God wants to give each of us another chance. We have sinned against him. We have crucified the Son. But that second chance is a second chance and a second chance and a second chance until probation closes. We know the penalty for the transgression of the law, and that is death. We know that we are sinful. We know that it could not be changed. Man had to pay the penalty. It's the only way that it could be done. Hebrews 10:5 tells us, "A body hast thou prepared me." For God to come to this earth in the flesh is a mystery. The doctrine of the incarnation of Christ in human flesh is a mystery. Especially when Hebrews 4:15 tells us, "Yet was without sin." Jesus Christ became human and was without sin. To me, that's more of a mystery. So God become man, and he not only become man, but the God who was to suffer man's death. He suffered death for us, for each one of us. We need to realize that only by Christ becoming human and dying our death could he accomplish the plan of redemption. And that plan is for us to have eternal life, for each one of us to be with him throughout eternity. He's done everything for us. There's nothing we can do but accept Jesus Christ. Christ tasted death so that each of us can have eternal life. And so many refuse. Thousands and millions of people refusing this opportunity for the eternal life. And I pray that is one of the reasons that we're not here, that we're here this morning, is to have that eternal life. But we have to accept Jesus Christ. We have to repent of our sins. But we see that the sacrifice has two elements. The first element is deity. But deity alone could not atone for sin. And the second element is the human element. For Jesus to die for man's sin, he had to die as a man. That's one of the reasons that he came to this earth, to be our substitute. He suffered in man's own flesh. And if you would turn to Hebrews 2, that was our scripture meditation this morning, but let's look at that again. Hebrews 2:16-18. Hebrews 2:16-18. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He became human. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and high priest in things pertaining to God. He is our high priest in heaven right now to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Through Jesus Christ, we are able to meet the requirements of the law. The law does not save us. It is Jesus Christ that saves us. Had to be in the flesh so that Christ could conquer death coming from the grave. When Christ died on the cross, Satan thought he had won. But when Christ rose from the dead, that separation from God was done away with. The connection was made again with heaven. Jesus conquered the second death through his dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. And it is the assurance of this resurrection from the dead that all of us can believe in him. We have to believe. We know that it boils down to having faith. And we all can have that faith because God even gives us that faith. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, it's 16 through 23. But I'm not going to read all of that. You can read that for yourself, you know. But it starts, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your own sins." Verse 23. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming." By man also came the resurrection of the dead. Through the virgin birth, Jesus took on man's flesh and blood. Many people, even today, do not believe that. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe he was the Son of God. Oh, there was a good man there, but not the Son of God. He took on the nature of Abraham. He was in all things made like unto his brother. He became a member of the human race. He became like us. He became like you and I, each of us. That tells us, he tells us that in Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. Number one, he became one of us. Number two, he was subject to temptation. Number three, he knew the pains of suffering. Four, he was not a stranger to man's common woes. Hebrews 4:15 in the American Revised Version says, "For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Not hard to believe, yet without sin, as we see human beings down through the ages and see what man can do, especially to each other. You know, if it's something that can be thought of, man will find a way to do it. You know, he had to follow our paths, our circumstances. He had to live under the same conditions as man. And so complete was this incarnation of humanity that when he arose from the grave and ascended to heaven, he went as a man in the flesh, but yet fully divine. Even when the apostles saw him ascending to heaven, as he went up, they were not still able to see the glory that Christ received by his ascending to heaven. They didn't see the angels that were with him, because we know what would have happened if they had of. As the incarnation is a mystery, we take this fact of humanity by faith. He went to heaven as a man to represent the human race, to represent each one of us. And Christ was given to the world a free gift, a gift of God, his Father. There's nothing that man can do. There's nothing owed to man, nothing that man has done or will ever do that can justify the gift of eternal life, the gift of the only begotten Son of God. And he's been given by God. We know that he sits at the right hand of God now. He's clothed in human flesh. And he still and always will bear the marks of the crucifixion. He will be our king forever, the man, Christ Jesus. Have you and I ever had the opportunity to humble ourselves? Have we ever allowed ourselves to have humility, to be humble, low in position or condition, modest in spirit, not proud, to make lower in position, humiliate, to lower the pride, dignity, or self-respect? Humiliation, lowering of pride, dignity, or self-respect, the state or the feeling of being humiliated. We know that Christ did all of this. If you would turn to Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And that's another long one, so I won't read the whole thing. But as you look down through there, being made himself of no reputation, the form of a servant, likeness of men, found to be in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That Jesus Christ is Lord. In those verses, we see that Christ did humble himself. He became a servant. Simply that Jesus had for his people was enough for him to live the life of humiliation here upon this earth. We see in Isaiah, he tells of Christ's tender compassion that he had for his for the world and his followers. Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved him. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Yes. He carried our affliction with him. He was tempted in all points like we are. He became a servant. He took on the most humiliating form possible in order to closely identify himself with man. He took on human woe, human sorrow. And so many people don't believe that. Christ's divinity was veiled by his humanity, so that he could live among men without them being destroyed by the glory of his majestic presence. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. His divinity had to be shrouded so that the human being would not be destroyed. If it wasn't for that, we would all be destroyed. We are alive today because of the accomplishment of Jesus Christ. Many people are wondering why Adam and Eve wasn't put to death right away. Why God didn't start over again. But if he had none of that, we wouldn't be here today. One of the great mysteries, as I have said, is the incarnation of God in the flesh. God coming down in the form of his creation, come down to be with his creation, and for sin to be eradicated, for Christ to become man's redeemer. There's no other way to do this, but Jesus had to take on human flesh for the atonement to be made. And he has done it for each one of us. He's done it for every person that ever was born or ever will be born. And every person has the opportunity to accept him or not accept him. God had to come down to man in order to lift man up to himself. He came down here to do it. We couldn't lift up ourselves. A Savior, both divine and human, offered himself on man's behalf. And so many refuse. I pray that each one of us here this morning has not refused, that we have accepted the work of Jesus Christ and have accepted him in our lives. Jesus, with a human nature, is able to reach down to the sinner, and with his divine nature, lift man up to his Father and to heaven. Human nature, live among sinful men, divine power saves us from our sins and gives us eternal life. John 3:16 should be embedded in our minds, so that when that is mentioned, it's automatic in our minds what it says. For God so loved the world. Christ as the Son of God, presenting himself before the Father as our substitute, and presenting his followers with his robe of righteousness. Such love we have never seen before. God asks us to love one another, and many times we find it so hard to do. Why, if we follow Jesus Christ? To stand without blemish before the Father. Through faith, we know that this is what the Savior wanted for us, to be able to stand before the Father. Hebrews 4, if you would turn to there. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And with what Jesus has done for us, we can do that with confidence. To come to God with confidence, without only Jesus as our mediator. We don't need a priest from here on earth to be able to come before the presence of God even now. Jesus coming again, Jesus coming to this earth, he will still be the Son of Man. It will always be Jesus in the flesh. Acts 1:11. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come. Jesus ascended into heaven. He was in the flesh. He was in man's form. He said to his disciples, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have." And he showed them his hands and feet. Luke 24:39-40. God formed a tie between himself and man that can never be broken. The gift has never been recalled and never will be recalled. It's always there. We have to accept it. He is still the man, Christ Jesus. After his resurrection, is that mentioned many times here today, he retained his human form. He ascended to heaven as a man. He appeared before God as a member of the human race. God, Jesus, will always be as he was when he went away. But we will also be able to see him in his glory, which no man was able to see before. To see Jesus Christ in his glory is one of my greatest wishes. And I pray that it's one of your greatest wishes, to be with Jesus, to sit at his feet, to hear the very words from his lips that are written here in this book that we have in here now. We have to believe in this book. We have to believe in the Word of God for this to be able to accomplish. When the first Adam sinned, Jesus became the second Adam, and became the mediator for the human race. I pray that each of us are looking for our elder brother, and he will deliver us from the bondage of sin. Just as Jesus appeared in the flesh, his people will be redeemed in the flesh. Job says, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job 19:26. David also, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 17:15. Redeemed men and women will continue to be real people. We're going to have new bodies. We're going to have new names, but real people. The gospel was given to change sinful people into righteous people. And the results of the curse of sin will be left here, will be left in the grave. The saved will be changed. Each one of us can be changed. We can start that process today if we have given our hearts to Jesus. We'll still have our human forms, just as Christ is. Christ is our kin. The spiritual birth gives us in the flesh the right to the tree of life and to enter through the pearly gates into that city in the paradise of God. Which gate will you go through? Which tribe will you belong to? What will your new name be? Oh, that blessed hope of Jesus soon appearing. We don't know when that's going to happen, so we need to be ready today, brothers and sisters. We have to get right with Jesus now, not tomorrow. To the beloved John, even so, come Lord Jesus. Revelation 22:20. It was the expressed desire of Jesus' heart that where I am, ye may be also. Jesus wants us with him. He wants us to be with the Father, enjoying all the things that he has prepared for us. He has mansions in heaven for each one of us. He's going to make this earth new. We're going to build houses, plant gardens, and we won't have to toil in that soil. What we sow, we will grow. To the righteous dead, it will be the day of release from the tomb. And we should be making every suitable preparation today for the glorious appearing of our Redeemer. Be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. 24:44. If you go to Luke 21, 34 through 36. But I just want to mention the last sentence part of verse 36. And to stand before the Son of Man. The opportunity that we have, each one of us, to stand before Jesus Christ. Such opportunities. Such love God the Father has given us to be with his Son, Jesus Christ. If you and I want to be presented to the Lord today, to the Father one day, we need to accept Christ. We need to be repentant of our sins. We need to come to Jesus just as we are, and then a change can be made. There's nothing you and I can do to gain entrance to heaven, to stand before our Heavenly Father, but to accept Jesus Christ and to follow him. As we know it, it is a free gift of God by the grace of God. As we close, we should not let lose sight of the character of Christ, for we are to copy it in ourselves. Here on this earth, we need to copy the character of Jesus Christ. And we'll close with hymn number 522, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. But as we sing that, let's be thinking of the day when we will see our King, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior of the earth. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, such love, allowing your Son to come to this earth in the flesh, to be our substitute, to die on a cross for each of us so that his blood can cover us, that we may wear his robe of righteousness through eternity. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.